bit later in our service. Easter lilies, we're going to have them all up here next Sunday. If you would like to honor somebody or give in memory of somebody, you can do that, and we'll have a full listing of those folks next Sunday. If you want to write those on the gift envelope, both how much you're giving and whom you are donating in honor of or in memory of, you can do that, place in the offering plate. If you give online this week, just make sure to add the comment of who those folks are, and we'll make sure all that gets taken care of next Sunday. We'll take donations until Thursday. We do have an Easter egg hunt immediately after Bible classes next Sunday, so this will be right around noon, and all of our children and our young at heart are welcome to participate in that. Thursday Bible class continues this week via Zoom. King is your contact if you want to be a part of that class. Talking about classes, we do have them all over this building. You see up there, room 106, it says Philippians. Today, we are changing that to something else, and Chelsea is going to come and talk about that class right now.
Steve Sanifer has been leading us through the Philippians class the last probably 6 or 7 weeks, and so we've been focusing on text, and now we're going to span out and do more of a topical discussion that I'm going to be leading with Henry Nouwen, his a new book that was just released, and actually a different author put all of his work together that had never been published. They had found cassette tapes of some sermons, some lectures that he had recorded, and so someone painstakingly scribed transcribed everything from notes that he had when he was doing the lecture and listening to the cassette tapes and put it into a book. And it was just released recently, and I thought it was very timely for where a lot of us are kind of coming out of the pandemic, everything that's been going on in our world the last 2 years. And so it's called Following Jesus, Finding Our Way Home in the Age of Anxiety. And so some of y'all know I'm a counselor, and I'm kind of familiar with, you know, talking to people about anxiety. And so I would love to have you in this class. We're going to let Henry Nouwen's words wash over us and teach us, and then we're also just going to be talking about anxiety and what does God have to say about that. So again, I would love to have you in the class. If you need help purchasing the book, please speak to me or King or Steve. We would love I obviously do not want that to be a hindrance for you joining our class. And then for everyone online, if you would like to join online, again, just make sure that that is known, and we will Zoom you into class. And we would love to have you sitting in that way. So please ask me any questions. Today, we're just going to have a pretty chill class, and then we will be getting into the meat of the text next week. So, thank you.
Since Henry Nouwen cannot join us to teach the class, I cannot think of anyone better than my wife to lead us through that one. So you are certainly welcome to be a part of that. As we do every single Sunday, we now light a Christ candle to remind us that Christ is indeed here and among us. Today is also Palm Sunday, which is the start of Holy Week, and we rejoice because Jesus is here. He did not run away when he had a chance. He chose Jerusalem, even though he had a good inclination of what it would ultimately bring. Drawing close to the city, the people applauded and praised Jesus, spreading tree branches and cloaks all along the road as he went, believing that maybe this person was the one fierce enough to win their people back again. He would do that, of course, but not in a way that anyone expected. This was no victory parade on a war horse, showing off his military might. This was a peace march, a man riding into town on a farm animal. In a moment, I will read Luke's version of that story. You may notice in our reading that while cloaks do show up, palm branches do not. Luke does not include that detail, and while our goal this morning is not to blend gospel versions more than needed, today is called Palm Sunday, not Cloak Sunday, though that would be okay too. Regardless, palms are what we have, and so that's what we'll use. Brent, in a moment, will lead us in three songs after I read. The first one is Hosanna in the Highest. During this song, I invite you to raise the palm branch, the one that's in your seat. Hold it as high as you dare. During the second song, and even during the third song, if you'd like, I would invite you to come forward and lay your palm branch right on this table, not getting it near the flame, please. So during the second and third song, again, come forward, lay your palm branches on the table, and we'll continue from there. I invite you to stand for this reading, please, and then Brent will lead us in song. From Luke 19. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Let's sing together.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Worship the King, O glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plains, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Let's be seated.
Good morning, church. May you all please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you, to praise you, to glorify your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this church, those who are at home, those who are here. We all give you your blessing. We bring our blessing, our mercy, and our joy. Father, we put this church together at your footstep with your love. We lift it up in prayer. Let us all love each other, pray together, and go together in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for condemned on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow such love and sorrow. aren't far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, sacred head now wounded with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. Thou art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee.
We have prayed a prayer of praise. Ruth, thank you for doing that. And now, as we have done each week throughout Lent, I invite you to a time of prayer in silence. Whatever bubbles up in you during this time of silence, I invite you to entrust those to God. Let's do that now, please. We entrust these prayers to you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Our youngest among us may head back to the roots table if you would like to. Miss Jessica is heading back there. And we have a couple of activities for you during this portion of our service. While they're going, let's pray together again, please. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and our minds in ways that you seem fit and deem good. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. I wish, sometimes, there was a way to time hop over certain parts of the Gospels, to get a running start and vault over certain sections, like on My Family's Walks, how Cora jumps over cracks and broken limbs with a grace befitting of her not-so-short-anymore legs. I'd be okay skipping over certain parables I don't care much for, or questions Jesus poses that I pretend do not pertain to me, or the two cringing chapters we will hear read in just a bit. It may just be my personality that wants to tune those out and find some happier medium. The Palms parade was so nice. Can't we do that again? I could say the same about uploaded pictures from Ukraine, or the non-newsworthy conflicts in Ethiopia, or the daily plights of many of our neighbors, the ones they face here in Houston, or whatever it is that you've lugged with you into worship this morning. Close my eyes and leap over. If I don't see it, did it really happen? As we enter Passion Week in these last days of Lent leading up to Easter, there is, unfortunately, no jumping the line from this Sunday to next Sunday for us or for our children. There is only walking the days in between, just as Jesus did. Well, that's not really true. I could just turn the page. No one is twisting my arm. But you know as well as I that the narrative will go on with or without us. If this is our story, if this is our song, then maybe it's better to pay attention, to look again, so as to know the story backwards and forwards, so as to let his story embody our own. I wanted to invite Brittany Easter and Paul Chang to join me in the reading from Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine at the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him."
They begin to question among themselves which of them it might be the one who would do this. And also a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel."
Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Simon Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written in Isaiah, 'As he numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But now this is your hour, when darkness reigns."
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him.
At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the Almighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say, I am that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "Lo, we have found the man subverting our nation. He opposes payments of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king."
So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies.
Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion, but I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But with one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I find in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demand that he be crucified. And the shouts prevail. So Pilate decided to grant the demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus for their will.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews."
One of the criminals who hung there heard insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. But we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their chest and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath. in obedience to the commandment. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Brittany. Within a week of cloaks and palms laying underfoot during a welcoming procession, the tone would shift dramatically, and you had to wonder if this was even the same guy. Cheers became jeers, cloaks became blindfolds, blessed is the king became crucify him. And today, we wonder about all of that. We wonder about the why. We wonder about the cross and the events that played out. We wonder what an occurrence so long ago that we had absolutely nothing to do with has to do with us. Throughout Christian history, the whys have often veered into the realm of church debates and theological disagreements, spirited conversations that sometimes illuminated the darker corners of our limited understandings, and sometimes brought about disastrous consequences for the church at large, including splits and hostilities. While there is merit to study the whys, atonement theories, we call them, it can still feel lacking, shall we say. While we could discuss the atonement theories until we are blue in the face and dizzy from thinking so hard, which would be thrilling for some of us but might bore others of us to tears, here's one thing we should probably hold on to. We cannot escape the flesh and blood of it all. This God become human, who moved into the neighborhood and dwelt among us for a time. Even at the end of his days, flesh and blood took center stage, more than theory and academia. Working backwards in our reading today, there is a body laid to rest in a cemetery. There's Jesus settling his final breath into his Father's hands. A dying criminal saved somehow by a dying Savior. The women Jesus speaks directly to, who wail and mourn with sounds we are all too familiar with. The man Herod, who treats Jesus like a carnival sideshow. The man Pilate, who is conflicted when Jesus' face is near his own. The fists and the scorns and the people who wield them. The rooster, the ear and its return. The blood sweat mingling with the dirt. The unoriginal arguments about who's the best and who's right. The meal set before them, prepared and ready for consumption. It's kind of like Jesus never intended to stay in a religious classroom or in a worship service or printed on a vinyl banner raised high for political gain. Instead, he brought his very life to upper rooms and small houses and to frequently visited gardens and to one-sided courtrooms and before kings and before soldiers and before persons grieving what they see happening in the streets of their town, and to a tree fashioned into a device designed to humiliate and destroy. While his enemies intended him up there to be a cautionary spectacle, Jesus had been on display for a different purpose a lot longer than that. From the time he was lifted up out of the baptismal waters to the time he watered Gethsemane's garden with his tears, just 3 years or so, the gospel writers were intent on documenting who he was as a person, as the Son of God, and what that did to the people who congregated around him. What his life did was offer a coming kingdom, a joy, a healing, a hope, a future home, a present one, a calling out, an inviting in, a correction, a repentance, a new way, all while seated at a shared table with saints and sinners and everyone in between. This is what we see before us. Even as the passion violence plays itself out, good news to the people who needed his life the most, and a threat who could not imagine anything other than death. We do not skirt around it. We do not leap over it. We hold it. We behold it, trusting, as Jesus did, that God could somehow redeem the world through a cruel cross and the life draining upon it. This, for some reason, is the called life he confirmed unto us when he took bread and broke it and said, "This right here is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when he took a second Passover cup, he said, "This right here is the cup of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. My blood is poured out for you." We are not merely spectators of the events of today. We are participants in them. "I chose you," Jesus once told us. "Follow me." All the while, we look forward in hope to the day when Jesus himself will eat and drink in person with us in the complete, fulfilled kingdom of God. And together we can say or type, "Amen." So let's eat and drink this together, this bread and this cup that's been prepared for us. As we have so beautifully become accustomed to doing, if you would like to help me share the bread and the cup with this community of faith, this family, you can come and do so after I pray in just a moment, and we'll share it with each other. Let's pray together, please, and then we'll eat and drink. In the cross, O God, we remember your Son's broken body. In the bread, we see the broken body. So as we eat it, feed us. Feed us with your presence in and among us. We also remember your Son's blood poured out in love and for the forgiveness of sin. As we drink it, sustain us with it. For as we drink it, we remember that his blood lives in us even now. Through Christ we pray. Amen. We, as we have visually seen and heard today, have been given, so let's now also give. We can give of our time, our efforts, our money. Today we offer our money. You can give in one of the plates that some of these guys are going to walk around with. You can give online, you can bring it to the office, we'll take care of it however you choose to give it, and as always, many thanks for that. If you also have some of these cards, you can drop those in the plate as they walk around. So let's pray and then go for it. God, we pray that what's given today reflects your heart. And knowing this congregation as I do, it already does. And so thanks for that. And still we pray for more. So take these gifts and use them in ways that you see fit. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Dick, can you help Glenn with one of these plates, please? Yeah. Dick, can you grab one of these plates also?
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. All right, for today, before I send us out in benediction, let's stay seated just as these guys walk around, and then I will have us stand. And now I invite you to stand for our last song. Let's remain standing as I come back up and send us from here.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn crown of brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels its robes of light upbraid, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear day. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Today we celebrated Jesus' arrival with the palms, and we observed his sorrow and his laser focus in the Passion. This week, I invite you to walk through Holy Week. In your bulletin, you'll see scripture readings for each day of the week, starting tomorrow and heading to Saturday. I invite you to read them and listen to them and sit with them and reflect on them. Now let's close with this reading from Philippians, what we spent our entire Lenten season leaning into, from Philippians 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we stop there for today. Go in peace and purpose.